Hi there, my name's Andy.
And my name's Anna.
And we are two of the four hosts of the podcast No Such Thing as a Fish. We present every week the most amazing, wonderful, insane, hilarious, bizarre facts you've ever heard.
Facts like, did you know America has a national grocery bag packing competition?
Did you know, Anna, the company Volkswagen sells more sausages than it does cars?
Yes, we've got those two facts and about a billion more in our podcast archives for you to listen to. We chat about them, we laugh about them, we make the occasional terrible pun.
It's great fun. It's called No Such Thing as a Fish. Why don't you listen now? Hi there, my name's Andy.
And my name's Anna.
And we are two of the four hosts of the podcast No Such Thing as a Fish. We present every week the most amazing, wonderful, insane, hilarious, bizarre facts you've ever heard.
Facts like, did you know America has a national grocery bag packing competition?
Did you know, Anna, the company Volkswagen sells more sausages than it does cars?
Yes, we've got those two facts and about a billion more in our podcast archives for you to listen to. We chat about them, we laugh about them, we make the occasional terrible pun.
It's great fun. It's called No Such Thing as a Fish. Why don't you listen now?
You're listening to continuing coverage of the trial of Chad Daybell from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Let's go back to the courtroom.
Detective, can you briefly review 61A through us and then let me know when you've had a chance to do so?
Okay.
Do you recognize that exhibit?
Yeah, these are all, if you will, hard copies of the photographs that were located on that flash drive.
And are those true and accurate representations of the photos you viewed on that flash drive?
Yes.
Your Honor, I'm going to ask that State's Exhibits 61A through S be entered into evidence.
And there won't be an objection, Judge.
Okay. Exhibits 61A through S are individual photographs each. They're all admitted into evidence. Mr. Wood, we've got a request to take our morning recess this time. Let's go ahead and do that with the admission of those exhibits, and then we can move on after that. So we'll be in recess for about 20 minutes, intending to come back on the record here at about quarter after.
All rise, please.
All right, thank you. I believe the jurors are lined up. So, Mr. Bailiff, we please have them return to the courtroom.
All right, please. Jury's office again for your honor.
All right, thank you, Mr. Bailiff. Please be seated. We just concluded the mid-morning recess. We're back on the record on case CR 22-21-16-23, State of Idaho versus Chad Guy Daybell. Detective Stubbs still on the stand on direct. We just admitted State's Exhibits 61A through S. And if you'd like to continue on direct, Mr. Wood, you may do so.
Thank you, Your Honor. And if I may publish?
You may. And as you publish, please reference each individual photo by its exhibit number.
Detective, was this one of the photos that you recovered from the flash drive we've been talking about?
Yes.
What does it appear to be?
It appears to be Chad and Lori on the beach in Hawaii with the pastor, possibly doing a wedding ceremony.
In this photo?
Again, Chad and Lori, their wedding on the beach in Hawaii.
And what was that, Mr. Wood?
I apologize, Your Honor. That was 61A. And for clarity of the record, the first one I showed was 61I. If you can say what you observe in 61B.
Again, appears that they're on the beach again. Chad has a ukulele. And Lori appears that she's dancing.
This is 61E. E is an echo. And what do you observe?
Again, another photo. This is one that I do get a glimpse of a ring on Chad's left hand. This isn't the best of them all, though, but...
Okay. 61K.
A picture of the wedding rings, which appear to be silver with possible malachite in the middle of them that both parties were eventually wearing on their fingers.
61H.
Appears to be Lori and Chad holding hands, revealing Lori's ring on her left hand.
61M.
Similar to the first, other than you see rings on both parties' hands.
And 61R.
This would appear to be Chad and Lori at some point, appears to be in Kauai, Hawaii, in front of what appears to be the LDS temple.
Thank you, Your Honor. At this time, I have no further questions for this witness.
All right. I'll have the bailiff retrieve those photos. Mr. Pryor, cross-examination.
Judge, before I start, my understanding is it's by
one. Turn on the microphone, please, Mr. Pryor.
You're going to learn, am I? Before I start, Judge, I understand this is by stipulation of the parties. I have Exhibit 50, and it's Defense Exhibit 50. And I still, again, it's Glenn Bard's report that was referenced by Officer Stubbs on the last line of his exhibit. I have the actual report of Glenn Bard, so I'm moving for admission of Glenn Bard's report.
All right.
No objection.
No objection. Very well. Defense Exhibit 50 is admitted.
And Judge, let me know when I can proceed.
You may inquire.
Okay. Officer Stubbs, there's a term about universal time as it relates to adjusting cellular data. And could you explain that a little bit to me?
So UTC, where, if you will, where time is zero, and then as you move around the Earth, you gain or lose an hour from that standard time.
Okay.
So depending on where you're at, it's UTC plus or minus.
Okay. And then when we're dealing with Rexburg, Idaho, St. Anthony area, do you have a recollection of what the UTC adjustment is?
It depends on the time of year, but it's usually UTC minus 6 or 7.
Okay. So six, depending on
Daylight savings.
Daylight savings time. But for generally, it's a six-hour adjustment. Would that be fair?
6 or 7, depending, yeah.
Okay. Now, you made a habit of going over the body cam of the apartments, 175, which would be assigned to who? Apartment number 175, Pioneer?
Well, Lori Valla was living there.
Okay. And then on 174, who was living there?
Melanie Boudreaux.
And then 107, who was living there?
Well, 107 was originally assigned to Lori. However, we know Alex was living there at one time, but when we went there on the search warrants on the 27th, it was totally vacant.
Okay. And as part of your search warrant, did you also have a habit of going through the garages of those particular units as well?
Are you referring to my body cam or?
No, I'm talking in general. Did you also go through and look through the garages as part of your search?
That would be practice, yes.
Okay. And you did that on this particular occasion?
The garages were going through, yes.
Okay. That wasn't necessarily part of your body cam, was it?
Well, from the body cams, I did reference the garage.
Okay. You didn't take particular notations during this presentation, anything substantial about what was found in the garage. Is that fair?
Other than the guns, no.
Okay. And if you were to see pictures of items that have been previously provided to the defense, would you be able to ascertain whether you believe those were items that were in the garage of the respective parties?
I'm not sure. Okay. I'd have to see.
And if I provided you with those pictures and an opportunity to look at those pictures, would that be something that could refresh your recollection?
Possibly.
And Judge, if I could have the bailiff hand to Officer Stubbs, I have a thumb drive with a number of pictures. I'd ask Officer Stubbs, if you have some difficulty, please advise, and I can help you scroll through these respective pictures.
Okay, the device can be handed to the witness.
And if you have some difficulty, Judge, may I have permission to go to the witness or the bailiff help him?
Let's just see if the officer's able to sort through how to scroll the photos. Is it a touchpad? Can you swipe, or do you have to use
the mouse? I think he can arrow them down, Judge.
I can see the arrow to next. So you want me to go ahead and look at all these?
104A through the bottom of all of those, if you could.
I don't see where it's listed as like 104A. Oh, okay. It was on 104B when I got it.
And if necessary, you can zoom in if you need to.
You want me to go through how many? Sorry.
Just go through the end of them. And it's 104A through, I think there's about 15 photos. So if you could go through the list there.
Okay.
I don't need it now, but I will at some point. Thank you. Not today.
Yeah, I think I've looked through 104J.
Okay. And if I could have that. Now, officer, do you recognize any of those photos?
Unless I previously stated, the only, if those came from 175, I was not, other than documenting the initial entry, I was not, from my body cam, what everyone saw, I was not involved in the search of 175. My directive was more in 174, so I don't recognize.
Okay. So other than the fact that you made mention of guns, you don't have any specific recollection of the items that are listed in these.
Mr. Pryor, please talk into the microphone.
You don't have any recollection of the items that are listed in that particular series of photos. Is that fair?
No.
Okay. So you don't have any recollection of recalling seeing any of those items in any of the photos. Is that fair?
Personally, no.
Okay. Did you find any other information through your investigation to determine whether any of those items are items that were found in any of the garages of the three parties you searched?
Restate that.
Through your investigation, were you able to ascertain whether any of those items were items that were obtained from the garage of the three parties that you searched?
I wouldn't be able to testify to that.
Okay. Okay. Now, you spoke of the fact that you felt that the apartment of one of those folks was abandoned. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And then you spoke of the fact that you felt that, at least you implied that you felt that Lori Vallow was fleeing. Is that correct?
Objection. Misstates the testimony.
Sustained.
How about you felt that she had abandoned the home? Is that what you were implying?
Objection. That also misstates the testimony.
Overruled.
I believe that in walking through 175, that the clothes were all missing and possibly the people left in haste.
Okay. Now, as part of your continuing investigation, did you come across any data that suggested tickets or purchase of tickets to Disneyland or to Knott's Berry Farm were made prior to your search on the 26th?
That's not something that I investigated personally.
Okay. Do you have some information that there was a trip planned by Chad Daybell's family 2 weeks prior to the search of the 26th?
I don't recall the date, but I do recall that there was possibly a trip to Disneyland or something, yes.
Okay. So this wasn't a situation where Mr. Daybell was trying to hide his whereabouts. He purchased tickets and planned a trip 2 weeks before this search to go with his family. You're aware of that, right?
Objection, Your Honor. That misstates the testimony. His testimony was about the apartment of Lori Vallow.
Sustained.
So the representation that you felt that the apartment was vacated by Lori Vallow, that doesn't imply that Chad Daybell was vacating his premises, does it?
Objection. No. House or speculation.
Overruled.
That doesn't mean Chad Daybell was vacating, was it?
Well, it wasn't Chad's home.
Right. It was Lori Vallow's home, right?
Correct.
And then the other one was Alex Cox's home, correct?
Melanie Boudreau was next Melanie door. Boudreau.
Now, you made mention of the Jeep and the search regarding the Jeep and regarding Brandon Boudreau, correct?
Search?
Yeah, the search to how to get the back seat out of a Jeep, right?
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that search.
That's okay. And are you aware that Chad Daybell is not criminally implicated in the attempted murder of Brandon Boudreau?
Yes.
Okay. Now, we may revisit it, but on Exhibit 59, I think that was the initial 10-minute surveillance tape of you talking with Lori Vallow, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And on that tape, she made a number of representations. And during the 10-minute interview that you had with her, who was present with you at the time again? I'm sorry?
Lieutenant Ball and Officer Kellen Wetton was also there.
Okay. And during that 10-minute interview of her, you folks decided to leave. Is that correct?
Yes, with the understanding that they were going to get a hold of us of JJ's whereabouts.
Okay. And during that interview with Miss Vallow, she indicated to you that her friend, and I don't know if it was good friend, but her friend Melanie Gibb had JJ. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And then you testified that you took some effort to get a hold of Miss Gibb, correct?
Correct.
And did you subsequently learn that you got a hold of Miss Gibb at some point shortly after that meeting with Lori Vallow?
That would have been later that evening that we finally got a hold of her.
And Miss Gibb confirmed at that time that she had JJ Vallow. Is that right?
No.
What did she say?
She said she did not have JJ.
Oh. Well, isn't it true she lied to the police about the whereabouts of JJ Vallow on that day?
I don't know. I wasn't involved in that conversation.
Okay. Okay. So when you say that she said she didn't have JJ, how do you know that? If you weren't involved in the conversation.
Because the next day is when we obtained, law enforcement obtained a warrant because she had stated to officers that she did not have him.
Okay. So your recollection is that Melanie Gibb did not lie to the police initially about having JJ Vallow? Is that what you're saying?
Objection. He's misciting the testimony.
Overruled.
Is that what you're saying?
Ask the question again, please.
So what you're saying is that you got the search warrant because Melanie Gibb said she did not have JJ Vallow. Is that what you recall?
That's what I recall.
Okay. Now, during the conversation with Lori Vallow, she made a number of representations. She made some mention of the fact that she was going to be moving back somewhere with Melanie Gibb. Do you recall that?
Yes.
Okay. And that her and that the JJ and Melanie were at a Frozen movie or something. Do you recall that?
She said that Melanie and JJ were most likely at the movie Frozen 2.
Okay. Okay. So from what you heard her say about moving back, the fact that you felt that the apartment when you went back for the search warrant was abandoned, did you look into the possibility that Melanie Gibb had made plans to leave Rexburg, Idaho, and move back with Melanie Gibb in Arizona?
Melanie Boudreau?
Melanie Gibb.
Was moving back where?
With Melanie Gibb. Lori Vallow was moving back with Melanie Gibb to Arizona.
You said Melanie Gibb was moving back.
And I apologize for that. I'll rephrase that. I misstated that. Excuse me. Did you look into any information that would support the idea that Lori Vallow, after she abandoned that unit 175, had the intent to permanently move back with Melanie Gibb?
Well, she had told us that, so we were looking into that possibility, okay. Yes.
Okay. So at this point, what you have is you have information that would suggest Lori Vallow may not have been honest about the whereabouts of JJ Vallow, correct?
Correct.
And you had information that at least her friend Melanie Gibb was accused of having JJ, correct?
She stated that Melanie had JJ, yes.
And at some point, Melanie Gibb contacted law enforcement, which gave you concern as to where JJ was, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Now, as part of all of these records and all of this information, you didn't look at Melanie Gibb's phone records, did you?
Not at this time, no.
Well, at this time, we're in trial right now, sir.
Right.
So when are you planning on looking at the records? A week from now or a month from now?
Objection, argumentative.
Sustained.
You never looked at David Gibb's record or David Warwick's records either, did you, sir?
Nope.
Okay. Are you aware of the circumstances regarding September 23rd and 22nd and 23rd of the last known existence of JJ Vallow?
The circumstances?
Sir? Yeah, the circumstances surrounding his disappearance on those days. Are you familiar with that?
I'm not exactly sure what you're referring to.
Are you familiar of who was with JJ Vallow or in the close proximity of JJ Vallow on the 22nd of September, the day he was at least last observed?
There was a number of people that were at Lori's residence, yes.
Right. And one of those people was Melanie Gibb, correct?
Correct.
One of those people was David Warwick, correct?
Correct.
And you're trying to locate JJ Vallow. And Lori Vallow on this tape says to you, my good friend Melanie has JJ, right?
Correct.
And you didn't look or bother to look into either David or Melanie Gibb's phone phones, did you?
No.
Okay. Would you agree with me that Ms. Vallow was very convincing?
No.
You wouldn't?
No.
Okay, well, you showed up and were there for 10 minutes, right?
Correct.
She talked to you about a number of things and made a number of statements, and would you agree that a good number of those statements were not truthful?
That's correct.
And yet you didn't take any sort of action to detain her or to hold her, any sort of action that way, law enforcement action to detain her, to hold her from fleeing on the 26th, right?
Correct.
Okay. Then you went back again and talked to her, correct?
On that same day?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
And then again, you didn't take any action, correct?
Well, we hadn't established that JJ was not with Melanie Gibb at that time. Therefore, we had no reason to detain her.
Now, I noticed during the tape recording that there was a comment that was made right after the first visit with on the recording. And if we have to go back, please tell me if you don't remember. We can revisit that. But after you left Lori Vallow's apartment, you made the comment, not. Do you remember saying that?
I do.
Yeah. And not, if I understand correctly, and please correct me, is a situation where that's sort of a code word for telling law enforcement to turn off your body cams and not record what you were about to talk about, correct?
That would be correct.
So in other words, as part of this investigation, you chose that we're going to not allow these statements to be recorded. We're going to stop this body cam because we don't want to reveal or provide the information that the three of you officers were going to discuss. Is that correct?
Objection, argumentative.
Overruled.
Is that correct?
Yes, we were going to state our opinions.
Okay. We didn't get the benefit of your opinion then because you turned off the cam, right?
That's right.
Okay. And at the conclusion of the second body cam, did you do a little knock-knock there too?
No.
Okay. Ms. Vallow also mentioned that Alex Cox was her protector, right?
That's correct.
And you made mention that Melanie Gibb was not answering her phone, correct? You testified about that?
Yes.
And you made mention that Lori Vallow was not responding as well to phone calls, correct?
Later, yes.
Okay. How many phone calls did you make to Chad Daybell seeking information about JJ?
Myself, I did not make any.
Okay. And there was no warrant to search Chad Daybell's property at that time. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And through your research of all of the devices, you didn't find an email or Facebook posting or text that said from Chad Daybell saying, "Lori, let's kill the kids." You never found anything like that, right?
I did not.
Okay. Now, during the search of the of one of the apartments, I noted this, and I noted this before, you made it, and you know everybody who was at the apartment during the search, right?
Most likely.
Body cam? Most likely, or did you?
What about the body cam?
The body cam search of the three apartments. You knew everybody who was in there at that time, correct?
I'm sure I did.
Okay. All right. And at the time, you made a comment during one of the searches, and you said something to the effect, "Going that way, Rob."
Okay.
Who's Rob?
That would have been Prosecutor Rob Wood.
Okay, so Prosecutor Rob Wood was present during the execution of the search and review of which apartment were you searching when you told Rob going that way?
I believe that was 175.
Okay, Lori Vallow's.
Correct.
Okay. Did you have any information as to where Chad Daybell was living after he got back from his Knott's Berry Farm trip?
I can only speculate from what I had heard.
All right. Now, you mentioned the fact that you also tapped some phone calls. Is that correct?
No.
That you saw a warrant to place... go ahead.
A tap is to listen to somebody. We did not listen to anybody.
Okay. Did you do any location? And I don't know what the proper word is. The warrant that you searched to be able to do a location on someone's phone like you did in this particular case. What's the term of that again? I'm sorry.
Tap and trace.
Tap and trace. That's right. I thought I had the first word right. So did we happen to do a tap and trace on Melanie Gibb and David Warwick's phone as well?
No.
Okay. So the link to get Chad Daybell's phone information, that was based on the fact that you saw Chad and Lori holding hands at the Hobby Lobby and that they were married at that time, correct?
Can you
give me a little more than link.
All right. The reason for the search warrant to get Chad Daybell's phone is that he was married to Lori Vallow, correct?
Yes.
There was no indication that he had any involvement in the disappearance at that time of J.J. Vallow, correct?
Other than he wasn't responding to our requests.
Well, he wasn't responding to yours because you didn't call him, right? Well,
I believe attempts were probably made to his phone, not by myself.
Okay. And the question is that you said probably. So you really don't know the length and extent of what was taken to contact Chad Daybell, do you?
That's right.
So when you testified earlier today, when you said attempts were made to contact Chad Daybell, you really don't know what the attempts were made, do you?
I can't be specific, no.
Well, you can't give us any information because you don't know. Isn't that right?
Objection, argumentative.
Overruled.
You don't know, do you?
Pryor. Mr. Pryor, once I make a ruling, then the witness gets to answer the question, so don't jump in with another question like that.
I'm sorry, Judge. You can answer it.
I know attempts were made.
Now, on the subject of cell tower information, cell tower information coverage is really designed to show a phone company has an area, specific area covered, correct?
Roughly.
Yeah. And it's not a way to locate where a device is. It's not appropriate to use cell tower coverage to show where a phone is in a particular location, is it?
It would be of the three methods the least accurate.
Okay. Well, the least accurate would be there's cell towers that are shooting down a coverage area. And what the least accurate is that that's showing that potentially the phone's in that designated area that covered by the cell tower, right?
Of three areas, yes.
Right. Okay. So the wedding photos, it's not unusual to have photos of a wedding, is it?
No.
And you don't know on that thumb drive that you said the family pictures of Mr. Daybell, you don't know whether those were copied to another thumb drive, do you?
I do not.
And just the photos in of themselves are not anything peculiar or particularly alert to anything, correct?
Are you talking about the wedding photos?
Wedding photos, yeah.
No.
And did you research why people use malachite?
It has something to do with the spirituality and other things.
Okay. And you have no information that Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow, prior to the searches of the malachite rings and the purchase of the rings, had ever discussed getting married. Is that right?
Not that I know.
Okay. Judge, could I have one moment, please?
You may.
Thank you, Your Honor. Judge, that's all I have. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. That concludes the cross-examination then. Mr. Wood, any redirect?
Just briefly.
Very well.
Detective, you were asked about doing a search on Melanie Gibbs' phone and David Warwick's phone, correct?
Correct.
You testified earlier about a geofence.
Yes.
Did Melanie Gibb or David Warwick's phone show up in that geofence?
No.
And you asked about Melanie Gibb and David Warwick and doing a tap and trace on them. And you didn't do that, correct?
That's correct.
At the time you did tap and trace warrants on Lori and Chad, was Melanie Gibb cooperating with law enforcement?
Yes.
Okay. So you didn't have to do a tap and trace to find her?
No, we were in communication with her.
You were asked about any link between Chad and the search for JJ, correct?
Correct.
Where was J.J. Vallow's body found?
On Chad Daybell's property.
Were any of Melanie Gibb or David Warwick's kids found on Chad Daybell's property?
No.
Grounds? The objection's untimely. Overruled.
Your Honor, I have no further questions.
All right. That'll conclude the testimony then of Officer Stubbs. I'm going to inquire of the state. Is there a potential that this witness is going to be recalled for further questioning during trial?
Your Honor, it's not likely. We have, with our law enforcement officers, though, decided we're probably not going to release them just in case we need them for rebuttal.
Okay. Well, in that case, then, Officer Stubbs, you are still subject to the court's exclusionary order, so please don't follow the trial or watch the trial in any way after you step down in case you're recalled, unless you're advised by the prosecutors you can do so. If you are recalled, I'll be inquiring on whether or not you've abided by that instruction.
Thank you for providing your testimony. You can go ahead and step down, and I'll let the state call another witness once you leave.
Your Honor, if the state would call Steve Daniels. I do need to confer with my team about something really quick, but we would be calling Steve Daniels.
Okay, take a minute to do that.
Solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Thank you. Okay, the witness has been sworn. What title do you prefer, Mr. Daniels?
Agent.
Okay, thank you. Agent Daniels, there's an exclusionary order in this case, meaning people testifying are not permitted to view testimony of those that testified before, and the case has been live streamed as well as open to the public. Have you viewed or watched or in any way observed trial testimony since this case began?
No, I have not.
Okay. Have you discussed with anyone else the testimony they've given during trial?
No, I have not.
All right. With that declaration, then, Mr. Woods, if you'd like to proceed with your direct, you may.
Thank you. Can you please state your name and spell your name for the record?
Steve Daniels, last name D-A-N-I-E-L-S.
What is your occupation?
Special agent with the FBI.
How long have you worked for the FBI?
I've worked for the FBI for 26 years, approximately.
At any time in your work with the FBI, were you a part of the evidence response team?
I was.
What is the evidence response team?
The evidence response team is basically the crime scene investigation team. We do forensics for the FBI.
How does someone become a member of, now the evidence, we're saying evidence response team, can we call that ERT?
Yes, we can.
Is that how it's, you normally refer to it?
Correct. Yes.
To shorten the time, how does someone become a member of ERT?
And real quick, approximately 1 year ago, I stepped off of our ERT team.
Okay, so you're no longer a member of ERT.
Correct.
When did you become a member of ERT?
I was on ERT and off ERT. My original entry on ERT was approximately 2001.
How does a member of the FBI become a part of ERT?
Once you become an FBI employee, then there's a hiring process to become an ERT member, like an internal process to become a member.
Okay. And what training is necessary for that?
Once you become an official ERT member, then you get to go back to Fredericksburg, Virginia, and you receive an 80-hour ERT training, a basic training. And at that basic training, that's where you kind of learn the original beginning policies, procedures, how to process crime scenes, how to process, execute search warrants, that type of thing.
And did you complete that basic ERT training?
Yes, I did.
Is there advanced training available for ERT members?
Yes, there's a lot of advanced trainings after you get the 80-hour basic course completed.
What, if any, advanced trainings did you complete as a member of ERT?
I completed a lot of advanced trainings. I think the one that's relevant today would be the Recovery of Human Remains course. And I completed that one approximately March of 2014. And at that course is held at the University of Tennessee in Knoxville. And that's a course, it's a 40-hour course. And you have to complete the basic ERT course and another course, advanced course, before you take it. And the pertinent things are, that's the course where you're taught by certified experts from the University of Tennessee how to process human remain recovery sites. So how to collect those sites, how to process the sites. They have a large area where they actually have human remains. And during the course, and it kind of varies, but you get to excavate approximately 4 to 5 burial sites. So my course, we excavated approximately 4 human remain sites during the course. And then at the end of your excavations, your team members or each team will present those, you know, their excavations, what they did, how they did it to each other. So you kind of learn from that. And then besides that, there's in this area, there's other human remains that are at various states of decomposition. So throughout the course, you kind of learn how the human remains, how they decompose, under different circumstances, different variables, and that's all part of the training.
And you completed that training?
Correct, in 2014.
Have you, other than this case, ever participated in the recovery of human remains?
Yes. So since 2001 to approximately a year ago, I've participated in many different circumstances of recovering human remains.
Okay. At any time, did you hold a leadership position within ERT?
Yes.
What was that?
When I left ERT, I was the senior team leader for the evidence response team out of Salt Lake City, Utah, out of the Salt Lake City division. And our division covers the states of Utah, Idaho, and Montana.
Were you involved with a search of the Chad Daybell residence on June 9th and 10th of 2020?
I was.
What was your involvement there?
I was the ERT senior team leader for that search.
And who asked you to be a part of that search?
Approximately 1 week prior to the search, a local FBI case agent from the area contacted me and informed me that there would be a search warrant execution on the Chad Daybell property. And one of the things we'd be looking for would be human remains.
And do you know where Chad Daybell's residence is located?
Yes.
Where is that?
It's in Fremont County, Idaho. And I'd have to look up that address now. I can't remember the exact address.
That's okay. What did you and your team do in preparation for the search of Chad Daybell's property?
So once that FBI agent contacted me about a week prior to the search warrant execution, I spoke with that FBI agent who was one of the case agents for the FBI. And then we contacted local Rexburg Police Department. And then we contacted, or I would have contacted, our evidence response team unit. And our evidence response team unit oversees all evidence response teams nationwide. And then I would have contacted the evidence or our FBI laboratory. And at the FBI laboratory, we have a group called the Operational Projects Unit. And together, all of us came up with a search strategy. So we kind of pulled our resources together, talked about this this case, this search, this execution. And then the Operations Projects Unit was able to give us some satellite imagery of that property. The case agents, the local police were able to provide us with some information about the case. One of the things was like telephone information, text message information, and we kind of put that all together to come up with a plan. So we had a little bit of prior knowledge before we got there. So we kind of had a little bit of an idea of what we wanted to do.
When did you arrive on the Daybell property?
It would have been June 9th of 2020, and it would have been sometime after 7 a.m.
What was the first thing you instructed your team to do?
Since we had a week of preparation, we had approximately eight ERT team members, official team members on site. So given that week of preparation, our team members were pre-assigned roles. So we kind of all had at least an initial role or responsibility prior to arrival. So some of those roles would have been to start a crime scene sign-in log, start overall photography of that crime scene. And that just involves getting as-is photos of what that property looks like. And we had a plan in place for how we wanted to start those, start with some priority areas. And then I would have been starting my own log. I have an administrative log that I do. And one of the things, my responsibilities as a team leader, is to do a walkthrough. So just doing a survey walkthrough of that property to see what we're actually dealing with now that we're there. And those are some of the initial things.
And I'm sorry if I missed it. Did you designate priority areas for search?
We had a couple priority areas. So one of our known priority areas from the aerial imagery that we looked at ahead of time, like satellite imagery, we knew there was a fire pit on the scene. So that was a priority area for us for sure. So two of my ERT team members, they were designated to find the fire pit or go to it since we knew it was already there. And they were designated to further assess that fire pit. We knew from the aerial images that there was a fire pit, at least from whatever date our images were from. But we needed to, once we got there, we needed to see, what does this fire pit actually look like? Could it have been somewhere else on the dates that we were really interested in, which the dates we were really interested in were, what did this fire pit look like on in September of 2019? So we had a couple, I had a couple team members that were just designated with, once we get there, go straight to the fire pit, trying to assess, what is it? What are we dealing with? Is there anything else in that area? And so we had two people designated to that for sure. We had a text message that said, talked about burying something in a pet cemetery. So we knew that there was some kind of pet cemetery on, supposedly on the property. So one of my jobs was to try to figure out, where is this pet cemetery? So that was something we didn't know, but we wanted to try to assess that and see if we could figure that out. So that was something I'd be looking for once we got there. And then we had a telephone ping that showed one of the suspects in the case. We had a few, three or four telephone pings of on the property from that September of 2019 time of interest that we had pre-placed on a kind of a satellite image of the property that gave us a few indicators that in September of 2019, these persons were in these areas on the property. So at least that gave us an idea of, hey, let's at least go check out those areas to see if there's any discrepancies, anything interesting in the vicinity of those, where those telephone pings were at. So we had a couple of those areas that we for sure wanted to go check out. And one of those was northeast of what we assessed to be some kind of pond on the property from those aerial imageries.
Your Honor, I apologize. May I have a brief sidebar with counsel in the court?
Yes. All right. Thanks, counsel. You can continue with direct. Mr. Wood.
Thank you. And after that sidebar, Your Honor, I do have some pictures to admit by way of stipulation. I do have copies for court and counsel. The first set of pictures would be 170F through GG. And I, by way of stipulation, move for those to be entered into evidence.
Any objection to 170F through GG? Okay. Exhibits 170F through GG are all admitted.
The next set of photos is 170QQ through 170, or I apologize, 170V through 170QQ.
Thank you.
And so by way of stipulation, I'd ask for those to be admitted.
Any objection to 170? Was it V through QQ?
V through QQ. V as in Victor.
Any objection to those?
If I could just have one moment, Judge, please.
You may.
No objection, Judge.
Okay.
Thank you. And the next set would be 170WW through 170XX.
All right. For the record, then 170V through QQ were admitted. 170WW through XX. I'll review those next. And I do want to clarify on marking, Mr. Wood, the first set of F through GG, I'm going to call them out individually to track on the record if these are what you have as well. These were admitted, but it's 170F, 170G, 170H, 170, and it goes to 170X, 170W, 170V, 170U, 170T, and then it's 170GG.
Yes.
Okay.
I understand they're not necessarily exactly in an order, but okay, that is what they are.
Because the second set would appear to overlap through the first, but they don't. So we'll track those. And again, when they're admitted and for the jurors, they're not necessarily all inclusive of those numbers in between or letters. So we'll make sure that's clear. But there's a third set now, which is WW through XX. Have you had a chance to review those, Mr. Pryor?
I have, Judge, and there's no objection.
Okay. So the set of pictures 170WW through XX are admitted. And if they are to be published, Mr. Wood, any of these, please reference them clearly on the record so we're tracking which ones are being published.
Okay. And then, Your Honor, the next set of photos is 170YY through 170JJJ. I believe those come in by way of stipulation as well, so I'll move for their admission.
All right, Mr. Pryor, have you had an opportunity to review those?
Yes, Judge, and there's no objection.
Okay, the photographs that are contained in what's marked 170YY through JJJ are admitted. And again, as you reference those throughout testimony, Mr. Wood, please clearly indicate which ones individually are being referenced.
And then, so I have two more sets, 170KKK through 170WWW. And if there's no objection, I'll move for the admission of those into evidence.
No objection, Judge.
Okay. Exhibits 170KKK through WWW are all admitted also.
Thank you. And then the last set, Your Honor, is 170A through 170U. And if there's no objection, I'd ask that those be entered into evidence.
And if I could just have a moment, Judge.
You may.
There's more to come in the trial of Chad Daybell. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage right here from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hi there, my name's Andy.
And my name's Anna.
And we are two of the four hosts of the podcast No Such Thing as a Fish. We present every week the most amazing, wonderful, insane, hilarious, bizarre facts you've ever heard.
Facts like, did you know America has a national grocery bag packing competition?
Did you know, Anna, the company Volkswagen sells more sausages than it does cars?
Yes, we've got those two facts and about a billion more in our podcast archives for you to listen to. We chat about them, we laugh about them, we make the occasional terrible pun.
It's great fun. It's called No Such Thing as a Fish. Why don't you listen now? Hi there, my name's Andy.
And my name's Anna.
And we are two of the four hosts of the podcast No Such Thing as a Fish. We present every week the most amazing, wonderful, insane, hilarious, bizarre facts you've ever heard.
Facts like, did you know America has a national grocery bag packing competition?
Did you know, Anna, the company Volkswagen sells more sausages than it does cars?
Yes, we've got those two facts and about a billion more in our podcast archives for you to listen to. We chat about them, we laugh about them, we make the occasional terrible pun.
It's great fun. It's called No Such Thing as a Fish. Why don't you listen now? Hi there, my name's Andy.
And my name's Anna.
And we are two of the four hosts of the podcast No Such Thing as a Fish. We present every week the most amazing, wonderful, insane, hilarious, bizarre facts you've ever heard.
Facts like, did you know America has a national grocery bag packing competition?
Did you know, Anna, the company Volkswagen sells more sausages than it does cars?
Yes, we've got those two facts and about a billion more in our podcast archives for you to listen to. We chat about them, we laugh about them, we make the occasional terrible pun.
It's great fun. It's called No Such Thing as a Fish. Why don't you listen now? Hi there, my name's Andy.
And my name's Anna.
And we are two of the four hosts of the podcast No Such Thing as a Fish. We present every week the most amazing, wonderful, insane, hilarious, bizarre facts you've ever heard.
Facts like, did you know America has a national grocery bag packing competition?
Did you know, Anna, the company Volkswagen sells more sausages than it does cars?
Yes, we've got those two facts and about a billion more in our podcast archives for you to listen to. We chat about them, we laugh about them, we make the occasional terrible pun.
It's great fun. It's called No Such Thing as a Fish. Why don't you listen now? Hi there, my name's Andy.
And my name's Anna.
And we are two of the four hosts of the podcast No Such Thing as a Fish. We present every week the most amazing, wonderful, insane, hilarious, bizarre facts you've ever heard.
Facts like, did you know America has a national grocery bag packing competition?
Did you know, Anna, the company Volkswagen sells more sausages than it does cars?
Yes, we've got those two facts and about a billion more in our podcast archives for you to listen to. We chat about them, we laugh about them, we make the occasional terrible pun.
It's great fun. It's called No Such Thing as a Fish. Why don't you listen now? Hi there, my name's Andy.
And my name's Anna.
And we are two of the four hosts of the podcast No Such Thing as a Fish. We present every week the most amazing, wonderful, insane, hilarious, bizarre facts you've ever heard.
Facts like, did you know America has a national grocery bag packing competition?
Did you know, Anna, the company Volkswagen sells more sausages than it does cars?
Yes, we've got those two facts and about a billion more in our podcast archives for you to listen to. We chat about them, we laugh about them, we make the occasional terrible pun.
It's great fun. It's called No Such Thing as a Fish. Why don't you listen now? Hi there, my name's Andy.
And my name's Anna.
And we are two of the four hosts of the podcast No Such Thing as a Fish. We present every week the most amazing, wonderful, insane, hilarious, bizarre facts you've ever heard.
Facts like, did you know America has a national grocery bag packing competition?
Did you know, Anna, the company Volkswagen sells more sausages than it does cars?
Yes, we've got those two facts and about a billion more in our podcast archives for you to listen to. We chat about them, we laugh about them, we make the occasional terrible pun.
It's great fun. It's called No Such Thing as a Fish. Why don't you listen now?